Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Show.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
I'm actually interviewing Jesse. My name is Ron Slee. Jesse Green, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ron. Thanks so much for having me. It feels weird being on this side of the microphone.
Episode 100. That is insane. What kind of a journey was that?
Look, it's been a great journey. I've learned a lot of things, not just about podcasting. I've learned a lot of things around business. I've learned a lot of things around some really cool things that people do. And I've learned a lot about myself, actually. I think I've been the luckiest person on the podcast because I'm the one who gets to talk to lots of people. So I feel like it's been a guilty pleasure.
You mentioned just now that you learn so much from people on your show and you learn so much from yourself. If you were to decipher maybe your top three learnings from people coming onto your show, what would that be?
Well, I think there's a couple of really key things that stood out for me in lots of ways. And I think, you know, in many ways, I kind of knew those points, but I learned them at a different level. And I think one of the very first lessons that came to me was from episode number one. And I interviewed our friend, Andrew Griffiths, and we were having a conversation about success. And during that conversation, you know, we're talking a lot about the way that people define success. And in today's kind of world, we're speaking a little bit about sometimes success for some people looks like they've got, you know, a Maserati and 10 babes hanging off their arm. I think that was exactly the example Andrew used at the time. But success being much more of an internal thing, being comfortable with who you are, being comfortable with the journey that you're on. And for me, that episode really caused me to reflect a lot too about what I really viewed as success. And so for me, it really forced me to get clear about how I define success in my own life. And it's not about the external measures of success. It's really about, I suppose, being comfortable with who I am. And that's been, you know, that's been a long journey for me, to be honest with you, Ron. That's taken a while. Moment of vulnerability there in the sense that sometimes you don't know if you're making an impact. Sometimes you don't know if you're really helping people. And as the podcast has progressed, we've received lots of lovely feedback. So it's been really gratifying. So that's one of the key things. The second key message or episode that I remember really resonating with me was another fellow, again, you'll know David Boucher, who is probably one of the nicest human beings. And his story is so compelling. And he's so humble, so incredibly humble, so incredibly talented, so incredibly good at what he does. And again, it really just made me reflect on the concept of mastery. He is such a master at what he does. I have tried to apply myself to master certain things in my life, and I would say that I'm a long way from mastery with most of those things, but it's a journey. You know, it's one of those things that never ends. So that was a really, really good lesson. And then, of course, lots of other really cool people have been on the show, and all of them have shared some wonderful things. But I think one of the things that I also learned from Tyson Franklin, another person that you know, who is a friend of us both, and some of the things I learned from Tyson were probably not on the show, but one of the things Tyson taught me was the value of relationships, the value of friendships, the value of connection. And that's not something that directly came out of the podcast. That came from us recording and getting to know each other and now hanging out a whole lot more together. And I've really become good friends with him, and I'm grateful. And that all came through the show.
Do you see a common thread that run across your last 99 episodes?
There's been quite a few threads. One of the things that I've observed through dental practice is that most of the way that people get taught how to run a dental practice, well, firstly, most people aren't taught to run a dental practice, right? So that's step number one. But even then, most of the stuff that gets taught, in my view anyway, is outdated. And it's kind of like business for the 1990s, a lot of that stuff. And again, I say that not to be critical, but I just think that the world has moved on somewhat. So the whole premise of this show is to look at what's happening in business and apply it to dentistry. So I think having you on the show, we spoke very early at that point, because for people listening, Ronzo's got this incredibly diverse background. There's nothing that he hasn't done in life. He is a software engineer. He is a qualified chef. He is a marketing guy. So we had a conversation at that point about nutrition for entrepreneurs and taking good care of yourself and putting yourself in that best space to win. So some of those concepts I think are really valuable, important. And I just don't think that using that as an example, I don't think people are talking about that sort of stuff enough. And so I really appreciate people bringing a fresh perspective to the show. I appreciate the fact that it's not just business as usual or dentistry as usual and talking about the same old stuff. We're talking about new things, different things that are happening in the world of business that we make relevant to dentistry. And so that's been really gratifying as well.
Most business owners are amazing at the technical side of what they do. So if they're a mechanic, they're amazing mechanics. Or if they're a financial advisor, they're phenomenal financial advisors or accountants or dentists. So their technical skill is amazing. However, that does not guarantee business skills.
No one teaches business at dental school. You graduate focusing on your clinical skills, and that's fine. But being a great clinical dentist is absolutely no guarantee for success. And I think there's a realization now in the marketplace that that's the way it is, because it is hyper-competitive. But that said, I think that sometimes people put their ladder up the wrong tree in terms of business model. So I've got a very expensive mistake. And my mistake was when we had our first dental practice here in Canberra. I'd followed certain paths that were advised, you know, to me. I had a mentor who was guiding me. And in essence, we had our ladder up the wrong tree. And I didn't actually create a business. I created a job and I burnt out. I was making really good money, but I was miserable. And so if you go back to that definition of success, I was externally successful and internally miserable. And so I think, you know, my own $500,000 lesson or more was to have sold that business, throw my hands up in the air and go, I'm out, I'm done.
Yeah.
And it was only when I operated different businesses, I started a marketing agency for dentists and learning a lot about internet marketing. And that's been a real passion of mine for a long time. And it was there that I learned the different business skills that I should have had for that first business to have flourished and delivered success to me in all forms. But I didn't know that at the time. So I made the decision at the time. So coming back to your point, yeah, I think there's real relevance in this fact that A, there's a gap in business knowledge, and B, not having business knowledge and expecting to be successful is probably or definitely a recipe for problems in my view. But even then, getting the right business knowledge.
It's such a circle, right? It's like this problem we create and we seem not to solve it, but we what we want when we get into business 100% of the time is freedom. We get into business to be free from whether it's the shackles of our boss or the shackles of time or the shackles of money, whatever those things are, we get into business for freedom. But when we get into business with the traditional model, we create, just like you said, the perfect, you mentioned it perfectly, you create another job with all the risk which a job does not have.
Exactly. Who's the fool? So it's funny, Ronz, you know, I've been reflecting on this a lot lately, and I know you've written your book, Amplify, which is a cracking read, and I've written a book, and I'm in the process of writing a second book. And one of the things that I think writing a book forces you to do is to clarify your thinking, right? It really makes you distill your thoughts. Would you agree?
Totally, 100%, 100%. Yeah.
So one of the things that I've been reflecting on is an operating system. So we've built out this operating system now. It's called the Savvy Dentist Operating System, just to keep it in line with what we talk about. And it's really predicated on the fact that most people, as you say, they go into business because they want an element of control. They want to be unshackled from the tyranny of not enough money or the tyranny of not enough time. And they want to have that certainty, that confidence. And they almost want to feel this sense of professional invincibility, where they're confident, they've got their moat around them, they know what's happening, and their practice is almost the envy of others because it's a money machine. It gives them the money that they need over and above what the business needs to operate, over and above the dividend it returns to them. But it also gives them complete control. It gives them the ability to go on a holiday and know that when they come back, the business is still going to be standing and indeed better off, right? If you've got a business that's got this wonderful reputation in the marketplace for delivering great care to patients and delivering really well on the promises that we make, then if you've got that ability to have great money machine, you've got the ability to have control, and you've got the ability to have this stellar reputation in the marketplace, that's what gives the certainty. That's what gives the confidence. That's what gives that feeling of professional invincibility. And so I've been really fascinated to decode and find the principles of that, because for most people, they try to do business by rote or by numbers, and it just doesn't work that way.
A few things that in what you mentioned, it's almost like, first of all, we don't give ourselves enough credit for the things that come most naturally to us. And it's almost you need someone else, like a business coach, to allow you to see the forest from the trees and extract your true value out of you. And then take that value and market it to the people that will care about that value. What happens most of the time is we assume the value that we're giving. So this is like a perfect example, because it happened 2 weeks ago. I had a friend of mine who is a life coach. She had one of her clients who had her last session cancel on her and said, "I'm sorry, I don't want to do the last session." And then she replied back saying, "How come?" And the client replies back saying, "I don't think I got the value. I don't, for the money I paid, and I don't want to waste any more time." The business owner sent the life coach sends a message back saying, "But if you had to think about the biggest takeaway that you got from our sessions for the last 6 months, what was that?" And the client says, "If I have to push for a takeaway, I now can make decisions without my past getting in the way."
Wow, that's huge.
Right?
That's massive.
That, right? So this is fascinating for me. Even that conversation with this friend of mine was fascinating, because she did not understand that through this journey of business delivery, of delivering on something that you promised, she did not communicate to this client the value that she was getting week in, week out, month in, month out, day in, day out. So you come to the end and they expected something entirely different. And even though they got something that shed their whole past, which everyone has, it seems like it's not valuable enough. How often does that happen in business, Jesse?
It happens all the time, Ryan, all the time. And so in the work that I do now, I've had conversations similar to your friend there. And when you go back and you unpick the things that have made the biggest difference, you know, there's these big shifts and you go, well, okay, there's been a lot of change there. And certainly, you know, because we do financial stuff, we can see the metrics. But interestingly enough, for the dentist listening to this show as well, it's really important to understand that the patient will place no more value on the work that we do than we place it on it ourselves. So it is incumbent upon us all as business owners to not just be delivering on that value. Of course, that goes without saying, we've got to fulfill our promise, but to communicate that value and to build value for the next visit as well. So, you know, one of the things that when I'm actually doing clinical work is I'm saying, let's say you're a patient, Ron's, I'll be building value for you. You're sitting in the chair, you know, Ron's, I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to be getting this filling taken care of. Glad we're getting onto it. Then halfway through the procedure, while we're midway through, I'll say, "Oh, I'm so glad we're doing this today, Ronsley. If we'd left it any longer, it could have given you a drama." And then at the end of the appointment, I'm saying that again. And then I'm also saying to you, "You know what, Rons? I'm now a bit concerned about this one on the other side. And if today's one was bigger than we expected, that could be too. So I think it's really important we get onto that." And so you've now got a reason to come back. And you see what's happening. And when I give you my bill for the filling, hopefully you're not going to feel gypped out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because through the procedure, you're not just saying, "Hey, you know, I'm filling this cavity." You're saying, "What could have happened if you didn't fill that cavity right now?" And that could be something as simple as cleaning someone's teeth, right? If even that has value. However, when you think about a car running is the operation of the car, but you can sell the value of washing the car inside out and what that value delivers. And if you don't, then someone washing a car will kind of go, there are three people around me that will wash a car. I'll just pick the cheapest because yeah. I don't. Because no business has taken none of those car washing places have taken the time to identify what not washing a car would how that would impact, and we think of those things.
Yeah, look, I completely agree with that, Ron, because what happens then is it becomes commoditized, right? And so dentistry, with all the hyper competition that's going on along at the moment, is becoming commoditized and by certain people. And I think the people who fiercely compete on price, you know, that's fine, that's their prerogative, but just know that there'll always be someone willing to do it cheaper. And so that's going to end up, I don't know what you think, Rollins, but I think that's a losing mentality or losing strategy.
100%, Jesse. And it's and the only reason you get into that sort of space where you're competing on price is because you have not found a way to build a business around you. Because once your mold is created, there's no other person on the planet that is as unique as you. Mm-hmm. If you build a business around your unique value, which, again, let me repeat what we said earlier, that it comes so naturally to us that we don't give ourselves enough credit for that. If we build around us, we can't, there's no way to be commoditized because there's no one else like that. There won't be another business like that. And it's all about communicating that to someone that has a problem that we can fix.
Absolutely. Bingo. That's hitting the nail squarely on its head. And if you can do that across your team as well, and so if you've got other people working for you and you can teach that methodology, you can do that at scale, right?
So once you figure out that value, it's also important to communicate that to your team to say, this is why we're doing it this way. This is what we're doing. And this is how we're doing to get to that point. Because everyone will have a different way of achieving. If I asked you to make me a cup of tea, chances are you'll make it very differently to my way of making me a cup of tea. However, if I gave you a list of steps of what I normally do, the chances of you making the similar cup of tea is quite high to me just making it myself. And then you can start feeling more free in your business because it's being done your way around your unique value while you're not around.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is what gives you the control. That part of that Savvy Dentist operating system, the part that we all crave is to be unshackled. Is you've got to be able to step away and know that it's all going to be okay. And if you've got that process written down, like making the cup of tea a certain way, and you're communicating that time and again, then that's going to give you the consistency, right? That's going to give you the consistency of experience. And again, if you're building value consistently across your whole team, then the whole business thrives. The whole business goes in a circle of prosperity.
Totally. I mean, we could talk about this for ages. Let's come back to something you said at the start. Through this whole journey, you learned about people and you learned a whole bunch of stuff from them, and we covered that. And also you learned stuff about yourself. Let's dig into that. Biggest learning about yourself.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this feels a little bit self-indulgent, but at the same time, I'll happily share, because there's a whole lot of vulnerable moments in there. I was actually quite scared. Honestly, I realized when I started this podcast that I was quite nervous. So for the dentist listening, you know, dry mouth, xerostomic, all that sort of stuff. And so you want to do your best because you feel a certain sense of responsibility for the end product. So for me, thing I learned the most, a couple of things. One is my willingness to prepare. I'm pretty happy to work very hard. You know, if I believe in the product that we're going to create, I'll work hard to get that done. And so I learned that I have a fairly high pain threshold when it comes to working hard. I also learned that when I don't prepare, I don't perform, which was some times where I've felt a little bit underdone. And I think the other thing I've learned around this is the ability to be consistent.
Huge.
Yeah. And so, you know, the commitment to putting out a weekly show, once you know this better than most, right? It's a lot of work, buddy. You know that. I know that. being consistent, doing the things that you need to do. And I think, you know, that's something that served me well. Is I think one of the things I've also learned in that, Rons, is trying not to master everything, trying to pick one or two things to really get good at. And the, you know, 100 episodes in, I still feel like a novice podcasting. I feel like I still got my training wheels on, but I do feel like we're getting better. And we had a conversation off air just before that my big focus is to make this show the best it can possibly be for our listeners. And I think if I can serve our listeners in that regard, well, then that's a, for me, a good internal feeling. That gives me a good internal feeling of success when I feel like we're doing something worthwhile and putting something high quality out into the marketplace.
Yeah, totally. The vulnerability of putting art out there is one of those that we either don't do because we don't want to be criticized for it, or we do half-assed, and I don't know whether I can say this on your show, but
yes,
because we don't want to go all the way out and feel rejected if we get something that comes back the wrong way, or we don't get the downloads we want, or however you want to see what success, going back to what you said at this, you know, going back to what success is. What would you say to that? Because it's you've consistently done this now for 100 episodes, which is a huge feat, by the way, because 93% of podcasts out there have only 7 episodes or less, by the way.
Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah. So congratulations. I should have said this at the start.
That's cool. Thanks, man.
What do you say to that? Because you just mentioned how vulnerable you feel. Even now, going out at episode 100, you mentioned to me that you were a bit nervous to start this off.
Yeah.
So people feeling nervous about anything, whether it's putting a book out, putting the new practice out, or marketing themselves, or, you know, getting a business coach, or putting another podcast, or writing another blog, or putting out a YouTube video. There's vulnerability always, isn't there?
Always, Rons, always. And I've been a fan of Brené Brown's work for a long time now. And I think she, for me, is the pinup girl when it comes to vulnerability. And for anyone who's listening and hasn't heard her speak on a TED talk, I'd really encourage you to go and listen to it. And she's got a wonderful book called Daring Greatly. In the beginning of that book, Daring Greatly, she's got a wonderful poem. I think it's credited to Franklin Roosevelt, The Man in the Arena.
Goosebumps right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Man in the Arena poem is something that I try hard to live by, and I fail regularly, I should point out, Rons. I fail regularly to do that. But I think it's the person, to misquote the poem, is the person in the arena who comes up scarred and bloodied and bruised, but is having a good red-hot go,
yep,
is the person who gets the credit, in my mind. And so for me, whenever I'm feeling nervous, when I'm feeling uncertain, I try to remember that poem, and I just try to step out into the arena. And there are times when you're just shitting yourself, right? And there are times when you think, I just swore on my own show, I've never done that before. But there are times when you think, my goodness, this feels like I'm out on a limb, and I hope that I'm not going to go plunging to the ground. And so I guess for anyone who's feeling vulnerable or uncertain about things, I'm not saying be reckless and just go out and get into the arena and be foolhardy about it. Obviously, there's got to be careful risk assessment. There's got to be careful thought. Hope for the best, plan for the worst. You know the upside, know the downside. Can I live with the downside? But then there's still that leap of faith. And it's the leap of faith that's the hard part, because you can do all the analysis under the sun, right? But it's stepping out onto the ground, out into the arena, onto the football field, whatever the arena is for you, that's, I think, where the courage comes. And that's where it sometimes feels lonely. And that's where I think it's really about trying to be brave.
And it's only after you put yourself in those positions more often that the feeling of vulnerability becomes, it feels a bit better, because it's like going to the gym for the first day as opposed to the 100th day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You still feel the pain on the 100th day, but it's not as, like, it's not the same as it was on day one. And again, ladies and gentlemen listening, this is really key, because we get into business for freedom, but the freedom from ourselves is probably the ones that we're not expecting along the way. And business for one being around in business for like 11 or 12 years now, and I'm a novice compared to most of the business owners out there, I still most days have no idea what I'm doing. And I have learned, like you said, more about myself through these 11 years and some of the hardest stuff. Because as guys, and as like most of the people we look up to are like, we're guys, we're macho, we don't feel weak, we are strong and all that kind of stuff. However, I have realized that there's so much strength in vulnerability.
Yeah, I think there is too. It took me a long time to appreciate that, Rons, because for the first lot of my life and a significant portion of my life, I was always afraid of vulnerability because I always thought that I had to have it all together. I always felt that I had to be perfect. And perfectionism, just to detour slightly into perfectionism, I'm a perfectionist by nature. I've probably got an OCD gene in there somewhere. I'm a bit of a neat freak, a dentistry honed to that skill. And so for me, trying to be comfortable with not being perfect was something that took a lot of practice. And running a business is, I think having kids and running businesses are the two hardest things I've ever done in my life. Two of the most rewarding things I've done as well, because you learn so much and you realize that you have to put the needs of others before yourself. And you know, that vulnerability piece, it does get a bit easier and there is a lot of strength in that. And I also think that it gives you authenticity and reality, because if I look at my Facebook feed, it's usually full of people who have achieved lots of good things. I'm not making a comment about these people directly, but it's one snapshot of their life. It's the 1 or 2% of their life that gets displayed on Facebook, and it's heavily edited, heavily sanitized. And if I was to judge myself by comparing my life, my reality, comparing it to other people's Facebook lives, it would be a recipe for me feeling entirely crap about myself pretty regularly. So I think for me, I've had to become comfortable knowing that there are a lot of things that we do relatively well, but there's more that we are still learning and getting better at, and just trying to be okay with that. And equally not comparing myself to others. My grandmother had this wonderful saying, Ronza. My grandmother was someone who was an incredibly important person in my life. She said to me not so long before she died, you know, Jesse, comparisons with others either make you feel superior or inferior, and neither is helpful. And so, I try to carry that with me on a day-to-day basis, because it's easy in today's social media world to go, oh my God, they're doing so well, or you know, I'm not up to par or whatever it is. So I try and carry that with me.
And it also is one of the traits as an entrepreneur is that we don't give ourselves enough credit for the stuff we achieve. And when you look at the stuff that you've done, I mean, 100 episodes, you've written a book, you have a successful practice, you have a successful coaching business, you run workshops all the time, and you have allowed all that to facilitate the lifestyle that you want for you, your family, your kids, your wife. It's such a huge achievement, Jesse. And I don't necessarily think you give yourself enough credit for where and how far you have come, my friend. And I think that it is common, but I would love if I could give you one small piece of advice after this is done, is to just make a list of all the things you've achieved since you started business. I mean, and the list will go on, and you have to realize, because that's something that your kids will take from you. That's something they're looking for. And you're going to tell them the same thing. You're going to tell them, celebrate the wins. Don't take the losses too hard. Celebrate the wins. And I think you should start doing that first.
Yeah, I think it's probably time for me to eat my own cooking on that, because it's a conversation I regularly have with other dentists who, like me, are perfectionists, and like me, are scaling a mountain. They're forever looking at the summit and forgetting to look at how far they've traveled. And you're right, Rons. I'm very conscious of the journey yet to be had. And I'm guilty of forgetting to reflect on the distance traveled thus far. My homework, ladies and gents, when I get off this podcast, is to do what Ronsley has advised me to do. And equally, I'd encourage you guys to do the same, because I think it's an important lesson for all of us in business, because we sometimes get hung up on the things that haven't gone well, the things yet to be done, as compared to the things that we've actually accomplished. So we might make that a whole of listenership exercise if we can.
Well, I think we should. And that's the important part about hanging out with the right people, right?
Yeah.
Is that however bad some days are, you have the right people around you to support you.
Yeah.
That's why community is so important. That's why a group of dentists that are in business and going through similar problems is so... It's such a huge advantage to be in that group. It's such a huge advantage to have people who have seen different things and give you different perspectives and give you different advice. And I mean, I am, like I said before, I'm a novice in business, in entrepreneurship. But sometimes I will say something to someone who's been around for years and they'll be like, I never thought of that. And, you know, it's such a huge perspective. Likewise, you know, I'm learning all the time. And I think a lot of the times our downs get amplified, pun intended.
Yeah.
When we stay in the same environment.
Yeah. Look, I think you're absolutely right. You know, I was very fortunate to interview a guy on our show called Vin Jiang. He's a really wonderful entrepreneur. You know, one of the things Vin and I were talking about, and I heard him speak at a conference for dentists as well, is the concept of the top five. Yeah, the people you hang around. Like you, I'm pretty consciously curating that group of top five. And I don't mean that to sound ruthless or terrible. I'm very aware of the environment in which I operate. And I've got lots of people who are my friends, who I love dearly and care for immensely and whose company I enjoy. But when it comes to my business, they're not the people who I necessarily seek counsel from. And so I think you're right. If you're in the doldrums, and if you're hanging around with a peer group that is not lifting you up, then it's perhaps time to move into a different environment. And so I am regularly curating the environment that I place myself into. And I'm sure you did something similar.
I'm so precious about my time and who I spend my time with. We were talking earlier about at the start of the conversation before we went on air about my trip to India. And mm-hmm. India and I just can't relate to some of the stuff there because anymore, and I can't do more than 2 weeks there because all the conversations there are usually around other people. It's like, oh, that person did that or that happened to that person. And I don't feel I can contribute to that stuff anymore because of the kind of people that I hang out with here. It's so idea generating and how, you know, you have these great conversations that you go away and you have to have a deeper conversation with yourself. I think that if you're listening to this, and one of the things that I'd encourage you to do as much as Jesse would as well, is to find a group of people that you can share ideas with and share lows and highs with. And Jesse, you have a group of dentists that you mentor?
Yeah, we do have a group of dentists that we mentor. And so certainly one of the things that I've observed in that is the community part is perhaps the strongest part of the whole thing. And it's, I think the part of that program that I'm really proud of is the fact that there's just a really good group of people, really decent human beings doing really exciting, wonderful things that genuinely care and support one another. And whether it's, you know, in a group like ours or in a group elsewhere, that doesn't really matter. I think for those listening, you've just find yourself a peer group who nurtures you and supports you. And the conversation is generally positive rather than moaning. There are various places people can congregate online. And you know, my observation is some of those conversations become a little bit petty, a little bit meh. And so I would say elevate yourself above some of those things. Think strategically rather than tactically. Be with a group of people who are going to stretch your thinking, encourage you to grow, challenge your ideas. And the growth zone is outside the comfort zone. So I think it's important to step outside of that comfort zone and rather than hanging around the same old and talking about the same stuff. And I think it's good to lift yourself out of that and put yourself in a new environment from time to time.
Yeah. And discomfort always precedes victory.
Oh, always.
Always.
Always. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, drjessegreen.com/savvydentist is where you go to find the previous 99 episodes and what's coming up as well. You have some pretty cool stuff coming up, Jesse.
I'm writing my second book, which is really an overview of the Savvy Dentist Operating System, which I explained earlier. And been really influenced by a couple of people over the years, and more recently to get my thoughts down on paper again and saddle up for book number two. So that's a big project this year. And we've got a few other really cool online things that we're going to be doing this year as well. So really excited about some of that stuff. But at the moment, it's punching the keys, writing the book and doing all that.
Doing the work.
Doing the work, mate. Leaning into the discomfort, hey?
In the arena. Jesse, it's been such a pleasure seeing the journey, being part of the journey, doing episode 100 and feeling the emotions through episode 100. It was such a pleasure to interview you and get your thoughts on file about how you see business at episode 100. I would love to see the next 50, the next 100, and what that looks like. And 2018 is going to be a huge year for you, I bet.
Thanks, Ronz. I really appreciate your support over the first 99 and now 100 episodes. You've been a big influence on me, and I appreciate your friendship, your support, and for taking me outside of my comfort zone, pal, because I think that's what friends do. I think friends challenge each other. I think friends support one another. And of all the people I've been lucky enough to hang around over the last couple of years, Ronz, you're certainly in my top five, my friend. So I am very grateful to include you in that group. I appreciate your care and support, mate.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, drjessegreen.com. I wish you, Jesse, so much luck going forward, and all the listeners. If there's one thing I would love for you to do is be savvy in your dentistry.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.